The Lebanese have been looking forward to the end of Israel's 22-year occupation, but this new escalation of violence raises worries that a withdrawal might not end the fighting. Lebanese are expecting Israel to attack again today following the rocket attacks this morning. NPR's Jennifer Ludden joins me now on the phone. How bad is the damage from last night's Israeli raids?
Well, there are no casualties so far that we know of. But the structural damage is pretty severe. It has fully knocked out one power station in the north near Tripoli, heavily damaged another one here in the northeast suburb of Beirut. Essentially, the northern part of the country is without power. And mind you, this is only 3 months after Israeli raids knocked out three power stations here. I spoke to the engineer in charge of fixing them. He just got the grid fully repaired a week ago, and now it's down again. Also, Israeli warplanes hit a suspected munitions depot of the Hezbollah guerrillas, and they have bombed a huge crater in the main highway to Damascus, which the Lebanese soldiers are now trying desperately to fill.
What's the mood among the Lebanese?
They're extremely resilient. I mean, this is a country that had 15 years of civil war. People have grown personally quite tough. People are back to work. There's no change in the atmosphere. But it is the third Israeli attack in Lebanon in less than a year. And what's depressing a lot of people I speak with is the economic impact. It's obviously a pretty desperate economy after so much civil war. The summer tourist season is crucial. Last year, it was ruined by summer by Israeli air raids in June. Something like 70% of tourists canceled, and now many Lebanese fear this is going to happen again.
Jennifer, elaborate for us on how this latest escalation of attack and counterattack got going and how it got so fierce.
Essentially, since the Israeli-Syrian peace talks collapsed in January, the rules of the game here have gone out the window. Remember that Syria is a power broker in Lebanon. It's got about 35,000 troops here. Both sides used the war in the south as a somewhat cruel negotiating tool. In 1996, after another escalation of fighting, they agreed to this bureaucratic memorandum that said Hezbollah guerrillas would not launch attacks from villages and Israel and its allies would not attack into villages. This has fallen by the wayside. This week alone, as Linda mentioned, Israel and its proxy militia, the South Lebanon Army, attacked two villages, wounding more than 14 civilians Wednesday, and then yesterday killing an elderly woman and her daughter as they slept in their beds. This is the point when Hezbollah leaders decided it was enough, and they decided to respond with katushas.
And what are the implications for Israel's plans to withdraw?
Israel says it will not change or delay its plans. The country has made a tactical decision that it cannot win against the Hezbollah guerrillas' resistance tactics. Even though it's the best trained and equipped army in the region, it's their version of Vietnam, if you will. It's time to get out. But what this violent tit-for-tat shows is the danger of pulling out without a regional peace accord. Both sides are already vowing that they're going to continue harsh retaliation to any attack even after an Israeli withdrawal. The various militia groups, the Hezbollah guerrillas, Amal guerrillas, Israel's proxy South Lebanon army, they're not saying at all they're going to disarm. In fact, they're saying that they might keep fighting. There are thousands of armed Palestinian refugees here who some worry may be pulled into the fray. And on top of this, it's not at all clear whether United Nations peacekeepers are going to deploy to fill the void, and they worry about getting caught in the crossfire. So we may well see an end to Israeli occupation of Lebanon this summer, but there is nothing right now to guarantee that's going to mean an end to fighting.
The United Nations envoy to the Middle East is in Beirut now trying to craft just such a guarantee. Is he having any luck?
Well, for the first time yesterday, Lebanon and Syria both said they would welcome a UN deployment when Israel leaves. But Lebanon is also putting out some new demands before it allows peacekeepers to move to the border. It wants Israel to also now evacuate the northern edge of the Golan Heights, land Lebanon says belongs to it, but which Israel says is Syrian. United Nations envoy Terje Larsson has basically ruled out this claim by Lebanon. Lebanon also wants the release of all its prisoners from Israeli jails and also those held in the occupied zone. And finally, Beirut officials say they don't want to be in a position of essentially having to guard Israel's northern border. In other words, they don't want to be responsible for stopping Hezbollah militia attacks. In yesterday's memorandum to UN Envoy Larson, Lebanon says if Israel, the most powerful military force in the region, cannot protect its own border, how can we?
NPR's Jennifer Ludden in Beirut.